Yeah, the game, Chris, the game was, you know, it was really only in the last 20, 25 minutes that England came away, because at one stage it was reasonably close in the first half. But I think that Eddie Jones did there when he was interviewed, you know, he gave a lot of credit to Italy and to Conor O'Shea, and said, you know, the scoreline really didn't give a true reflection in the game. Yes, England ran away with three or four tries towards the end. But up to that, Italy were very, very competitive. But, I mean, that's a sign of a good side that can take you away in the last 20 minutes. And, you know, that was just the difference in class and the difference in experience that probably took them through. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see just what reaction there will be now next week at the Aviva whenever they play Ireland. And obviously Conor O'Shea will have them jammed up as much as he can. But, you know, when you're restricted with the talent, and I don't mean that in a bad way, I mean, you know, it's very difficult for sides to lift their game for 80 minutes. It's easy maybe for 40 minutes or for 30, but certainly over the 80 minutes, that's what it really tells. And the final quarter in rugby nowadays is the one that matters, because the tiredness comes in. But then again, if you have a very strong bench, Chris, you know, to bring on, that makes a hell of a difference.
Yeah. Well, moving on to the game at the Stade de France, and you don't get many finishes as dramatic as that in Six Nations, not for the first time and not for the last time, we hope. Johnny Sexton coming up trumps.
Absolutely amazing finish, and, you know, very reminiscent almost of the Grand Slam in Cardiff, whenever Ronan O'Gara had kicked that penalty, and then Stephen Jones was left with an opportunity to win the game or to draw it, and it just dropped short. But oh, there's a magnificent piece of 41 phases, Chris. I mean, I've watched a couple of times, and it really is of the highest degree. In the big forwards, especially Henderson and Toner, and the back row and the forward, everyone in the forwards. I mean, they were all making ground at that particular stage, and most of those guys have played for the 80 plus minutes. And you know, to keep that going, I noticed in the tackle count, France tackled put in three times more tackles than Ireland did. And you know, I think it lets you see the possession. Having said that, at 6-0, 9-3, and then it was 12-3 at half time, you'd have thought, yeah, this is going to be good. But then that 12-6, the penalty, and there was that sort of 20-minute spell where neither side were getting a sentence, and you wondered, if Ireland get another penalty, maybe that'll take them clear. But then, of course, they Thomas scored that individual score of his, and with a conversion coming, I mean, you know, you couldn't believe it. With 90 seconds to go, and I mean, it was all important that they won the dropout or the kickoff from halfway. Got that there, and then 41 phases, and probably about 4 minutes plus later, I mean, Sexton lines it up. I mean, everybody knew he was going for the drop goal, but there was one stage you thought maybe they could take it a bit closer. But he obviously had the confidence and the perfect pass from Murray, and it was an absolute scorcher to go over. Like, it must have been between the halfway line, the 10 metre line. I mean, it's a way to win games, but I think it just shows you the measure of the Irish team. I mean, if you analyse that last 4 minutes, Chris, apart from the All Blacks, and they did it that time when they played Ireland down at the Aviva, they think it was 36 phases they had. But to get through 41 phases on a day when handling conditions weren't good, to keep the discipline, to be able to forwards, and for the players to be able to clean out the rooks and not give France an opportunity to even get their hands on the ball, absolutely amazing. And I think that, you know, other sides will stand back and look at that. It was always going to be a hard game, the one in France, and as it proved. But now, with the three games at home, it's going to be very interesting just to see how it pans out. But that must have given the Irish team a lot of confidence, just to be able to produce that sort of skill level at that game. I mean, I think that'll be talked about and it'll be shown for the next 10 years, Chris, because if you want to coach a team and show them how to maintain possession, you got all your answers yesterday.
Yeah. And let's not forget the Irish record in Paris, quite dreadful, and it was, I think one was almost nervous to see the Irish installed as favourites, but they came through, and we may well end up with that big decider at Twickenham on St. Patrick's Day. So much to look forward to, and at least there wasn't the early Six Nations disappointment as it was like last year when Ireland, well, underperformed against the Scots, to put it mildly. But moving to the All-Ireland League Division 2B, another defeat for City of Derry, but the margin of defeat yesterday against Navan, not as bad as in recent weeks.
No, it's interesting. I was down at the game at Navan, and they're a pretty good side. But, you know, Derry at least got two tries. But, I mean, I think the game was, they had the game well won after about 55 minutes. And at that stage, you know, maybe Derry come back. But, I mean, it's still, Chris, they have no points. Somebody's well won yesterday again. So they're clear. It's now the two relegation spots. Hardigan's picking up another losing bonus point. So unless today Derry get a couple of victories, then they're definitely, they will be down without even having a playoff.
And a good win for Rainey.
A great win for Rainey, and that takes them into second position in that league. You know, you don't get down to the back pitch at the Aviva and win, and 31-22 against Wanderers was tremendous. And 2C, Oma back the winning ways with a very solid 12-0 defeat over Seapoint. So their season is still going really, really well. They're sitting, I think it's fifth equal in that league, but it's so condensed, that league, that Oma are fifth equal with, I think it's Bangor. But if you look at the bottom, Tullamore have 22 points, and Oma having gets 31, so it's a real sort of, the next two games are very, very important. Yeah. And, you know, if a team loses three in a trot, they can find themselves right down in the mire in that particular league. But a great result, as you said, for Rainey, and an even just as good a one for Oma after the disappointment last week of losing out to Thomond.
And briefly, Alex, just in the Towns Cup, quite a few North West sides involved.
Yeah, well, only one successful one, Corain. They were beaten by Randallstown. Surprised at that, Chris. I would have thought that Corain would have been able to beat Randallstown, especially when they were at home. Strabane, they went into the Towns Cup and played Carrick, who, of course, are a very, very strong. They're in the Rugby Championship 1, and that was they lost out by 52 points to 12. But it'll be a good experience for the Strabane guys and the younger guys coming through. But a very good Lima Valley season all of a sudden in the last 5 weeks has just gone from they were pretty mediocre up to Christmas, but since the new year they've been tremendous. And that 42-5, they beat Lurgan. I mean, Lurgan are top of the Rugby Championship 3 and unbeaten, and look as if they're going to get promotion. And, I mean, Lima Valley, as I say, haven't had a great season, but that is a magnificent performance by them. And they'll be delighted because that takes them now into the third round of that Towns Cup, and it's always a competition that people want to do well with. And the Rugby Regionals, Chris, Anna Shone, they're maintaining their second position. They beat Derry Thirds by 24 points to 12. And Strabane Thirds, great to see Strabane putting out a Thirds team. They beat Cookstown by 31 points to 17. Just to mention there, what we were talking about earlier, we talked about the three games at home. I think one would have to say that nobody expected that Wales result yesterday against Scotland. And reading the papers today, I think Scotland were pretty woeful. But nevertheless, that is a big result for a team that were thought of as to be challengers.